The good and the bad of the Fed's big interest rate announcement.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Global stock markets are still excited about what the Federal Reserve said yesterday afternoon, that interest rates for banks that borrow from the Fed will remain near 0% for the next 2 years. That's the Fed's way of influencing the rates we pay for everything from student loans to mortgages. Now, keeping rates that low for that long is unprecedented, and making such a bold statement carries its own risks, as Marketplace's Jeff Horwich reports.
The upside of the Fed offering this level of clarity and such a long time horizon is that markets like certainty. Rising interest rates are one of the feared effects of Standard & Poor's downgrade of the U.S. debt rating. That could slow the economy down even more.
In suggesting that that's not going to happen, that should help market sentiment. Indeed, it already has.
Mark Cliff is chief economist with ING. He says one risk of the Fed's announcement is that it will be taken too literally.
The problem is that this is very much a conditional statement. This is their current assessment. This is not a cast-iron guarantee that interest rates are going to remain at zero for the next couple of years. That's the wrong way to interpret it.
Meaning the Fed could change its mind. Another risk is that it won't. If the economy recovers faster than expected, will it react too slowly? Of course, at the moment, that might seem like a good problem to have. Perhaps the greatest downside to the Fed announcement is the reminder we could well be mired in slow growth for the next 2 years. I'm Jeff Horwich for Marketplace.
I have to admit, this last week felt a lot like that scary week in September 2008 when Lehman Brothers collapsed and sparked the financial crisis. In fact, we've had quite a few jittery moments since then when we thought we were headed back into market panic mode. There was the flash crash, the various flare-ups of the European debt crisis, the mortgage paperwork scandal, which some people thought would lead to another cash crunch at the banks. I could go on, but the bottom line is we are not as confident in the economy as we used to be. And here to talk about that with us is TV psychologist Dr. Phil McGraw, you know, from Dr. Phil. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what's wrong with us, Dr. Phil? Why are we so lacking in confidence?
When I hear about Americans being conservative and Americans not being confident about what's going on around them financially, to me, that sounds like they're in touch with reality, not that they're being paranoid. So to me, it seems like the people are keeping their eye on the ball.
But do you think that there's some sort of post-traumatic stress going on right now, that we're so close to what we remember so vividly, this financial crisis and the recession, that we think another one is about to happen?
Well, I'm not sure that the first one is over yet, and I'm not sure that we've had a single politician yet stand up and tell us what the truth is about what's going on in this country economically. Mm. I think when people look at what's going on in the headlines, their question is, how does this impact me and my family right here at number 2 Elm Street? That's what they're interested in. And right now, they're not getting answers that give them a reason to have confidence, and I don't think we should be confident.
How is all of this economic difficulty affecting people's psychology in all kinds of other ways?
You know, during difficult times, we might lose a job, we might lose a house, we might lose a car. But what would really be tragic is if we lost our family in the process, because when there's economic trouble, that brings on stress. Stress trickles down into the family. You start playing the blame game, you start venting on one another. And the real tragedy when this thing turns around will not be if you still have a pile of bricks or a car. The real test will be, did you keep your family intact? Did you keep yourself intact? That's what's important, and I hope people keep that in mind.
Dr. Phil McGraw, thank you so much for joining us.
Best to you.
And if you have questions about how the economy affects you, call in to Marketplace Money today to get those questions answered by a panel of experts. The details for the call-in are at marketplace.org. And let's do the numbers. Global markets continue to rebound this morning. Tokyo is up 1%. London is about 1.5% higher right now. On Wall Street yesterday, stocks got back about 2/3 of what was lost in the big sell-off earlier this week. The Dow jumped 429 points, about 4%, to close at 11,239.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the internet and stopping unwanted email. Reputation.com.
Well, often when the stock market drops, as it has recently, there is at least one benefit for consumers. The price of oil drops as well, on a hunch that demand will be lower. Case in point, oil prices are down almost 20% this month, and that means gas prices will be heading down as well. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Eve Tro reports.
No, those numbers are no mirage. Gas is cheaper. And don't bother rushing to fill up, either. Prices will be low tomorrow, too.
Yes, they will stick.
Carl Larry at Blue Ocean Brokerage says we'll sink toward $3 a gallon, probably until the end of the year. But oil's already headed back up from its 20% drop. Gregory Daco at IHS Global Insight says that means gas prices won't tumble too far.
What you're going to get is a gradual decline of gasoline prices, and that is going to help consumers.
Because as people see gas prices shrink,
they will have a feeling that they're a little bit richer and that they have more money to spend on other things.
That little feeling we like to call consumer confidence. But Daco says that confidence flew out the window fast when gas hit $4 a gallon. It'll take weeks or months of lower gas prices for it to come back. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And finally, did you hear about the plane that flew over Wall Street yesterday right by the headquarters of Standard & Poor's? It had a banner hanging off the back that said, "Thanks for the downgrade. You should all be fired." The person who paid for the stunt actually wanted to have the plane flown over Washington, D.C., but she found out that due to flight restrictions, you can't do that. Oh, and turns out she's a broker from Wedbush Morgan Securities in St. Louis, so might be an interesting meeting with the boss today. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Financial news changes by the very minute. Domestic and global markets are crazy.
China's not about to move away from buying U.S. treasuries.
The European Central Bank wading into the Spanish and Italian government bond market today.
The whole debt ceiling debate made us look dysfunctional. We all know that.
That's okay, though, because we're here. Marketplace. It's the business show for the rest of us. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.